today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, have you ever heard the term knowledge reigns supreme?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this show?
Not much. Not much at all. All right, Patrick, Tug is back.
Yes, fantastic. It's been too long, as we said.
Day two of Tug.
That doesn't happen. That's right. We need to make sure we get Tug's voice on a regular basis.
Absolutely. So we are using the Skype here, mm-hmm. and we're talking to Tug Baker. My name is Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And this is Rockin' the Suburbs. And we like to talk to him this time of year because he tells us about a project he does every January where he just selects a couple of artists and listens exclusively to their catalogs.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I don't know if I would have the discipline for this.
I know, I was going to say.
But I'm glad someone else does, and then they can really take us through this journey and right. tell us what he discovered about these artists. Yesterday,
I'll say,
it makes me
want to do it all year round, but then I would miss out on the good new music, and that's really right. frustrating. I would like to do this in a low-key version all year round, but you can't. January, best month to do it.
Yep.
Some people don't drink in January. I don't listen to music.
That's the cleanse.
I will say that lately I've been listening to a lot of music by The Who.
Ah, interesting.
And do you know why that is, Patrick?
No, why would you be doing that, Jim?
Because we're going to do a Who live show.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the great music of that band on Wednesday, March 4th at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. That's in the Washington, D.C. suburbs.
Can't wait.
Come on out. Go to jamandjava.com for tickets or go to suburbspod.com. You can find the ticket link there. We're going to be counting down songs. We're going to have other fun stuff, and people who are in the audience can be on the show too.
I can't wait. We're going to have a microphone there and you can stroll up and talk about it, your favorite songs or the song we're talking about or anything. So it's going to be great.
And I will say it has been fun listening to a lot more Who music in preparation for that show.
Yep.
So
it's been fun.
I can kind of sort of relate to Tug. It's not quite the same because I don't just, you know, exclude everything else, but it has been fun to sort of go through the albums one by one.
Yeah.
Rediscover them.
Neat.
Okay. And Tug, before we talk about this next artist, tell people where you live. Where are we connecting with you?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina. Born and raised in Sumter, which is like an hour away, a little tiny town, and then came here for college, University of South Carolina, go Gamecocks, that's where I'm at. Still been here.
That's cool.
Very cool.
One of my daughter's very good friends is a current student at the University of South Carolina.
Nice.
Yeah,
good for her.
Very cool. Yeah. And you are probably besieged right now with presidential candidates, right?
I get a Tom Steyer ad in my mail. I was telling my wife, I think we've gotten four this week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, that man is just creating a bunch of stuff in my recycling bin.
All right, let's talk about today's artist. Who is that?
That is KRS-One.
Nice.
Yes, Boogie Down Productions.
Now, straight out of South Bronx, New York, a very different place from Columbia, South Carolina.
I know him. He's the guy that's on that REM album.
He is. Yes, that is one of the big things that I had totally forgotten about until I started doing this.
Yeah, it's sad that that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It really is. But Boogie Down Productions is right behind it. So
yeah. So,
yeah. Boogie Down. So,
how did you approach this? Did you do all the Boogie Down Productions stuff?
So this is another one. Like I said, I put it out to, you know, Facebook friends. They're like, hey, and a friend of mine from college said KRS-One, and he was kind of already in my mind as well, like kind of like Joni Mitchell was, where it's like, oh, yeah, this is somebody who I loved in high school and probably early college, and have always, like, kind of seen as this, like, you know, hero of hip-hop. In the last few years, I'd say my biggest engagement with him has been, have you guys seen this? There's a comic book series called Hip Hop Family Tree.
I don't think
so. By this guy, Ed Pisker. It's great. Like, go to your library, okay. Go to your local comic book store and find, there's, I think, four volumes now of Hip Hop Family Tree. It literally starts at the beginning of hip hop and in comic book form you know, in a very well-researched and well-documented thing, like, you know, he makes this really compelling and really interesting and beautifully drawn book about the history of hip hop. And it kind of jumps around from, so this is happening then and this is happening there. It's great. And, yeah, that got me thinking about KRS-One already, because I found out so much from that that I did not know about him when I was just listening to Sound of the Police off of the, you know, I think Black Cop was the song that was on the CD4 soundtrack when I was in high school. So things that I did not know about him, you know, back then that I was finding out about how he grew up became homeless for many years, got his education just going to a library and, you know, reading and all these cool things about him. When he came up, I was like, this is, you know, this grandfather. It also happened to coincide with like right before Christmas. So right before I was starting to do my deep dive, my local record shop, Papa Jazz Record Shop, number one record store on the East Coast, they do this great thing where they post on Facebook, you know, new used records that they got in, you know, and they'll put like 8 of them or 10 of them out on a thing and put a picture on Facebook, and you can call them and say like, oh, hey, I want that. And so I saw this Boogie Down Productions record and I realized like, oh, I know that that's KRS-One's first, you know, band, but I've never really, you know, gotten into it. So I called them up, they held it for me because they're awesome, and so I got in that copy. So I was like, well, this is perfect, like I can do KRS-One for my January, and then I've got this great nice vinyl to listen to now of this, you know, never before, because again, to me, KRS-One was, you know, pretty much his 90s records for me. And what I found was Boogie Down Productions is, I mean, it's some of the best hip-hop records you're ever going to listen to. They're
terrific. Cool, that's very cool. One thing we should mention here, so you guys know what the KRS stands for?
I don't.
You must have learned this, right, Tug?
Yes. Well, there's a couple different things. There's a knowledge. What is it? Knowledge.
Is that what? Knowledge reigns supreme.
Yeah, knowledge reigns supreme. One, but there's also a fun story, and you can Google this, and you'll get a cool YouTube video of him talking to Ice-T about this. And this is also covered in that Hip Hop Family Tree comic. When he was homeless and on the streets, he would serve meals. He was living in a shelter run by the Hare Krishnas, and he would serve meals to other homeless people, because if you help serve meals, then you you know, got some literature from them or whatever. And so other guys in the homeless shelter started calling him Krishna, and he would say like, oh gosh, like, guys, that's actually like, that's their Jesus, like, you can't really just go around calling me that, it's a little rude. But then it kind of stuck, and so when he started tagging, he met a guy who was into, you know, the graffiti artist scene, started tagging, he started doing KRS, you know, to do Krishna, and then the guy was like, it looks good if you just do the KRS, like, just do that. I think the knowledge reigns supreme. I don't know when he came up with that, but it's all tied in together. But fun, like, really cool stories about him. Again, I highly recommend that comic series if you want to learn about all sorts of hip-hop artists, but he has some cool stories in there too.
Oh, cool. So what did you learn about his music from this deep dive?
So like I was saying, like, the to me, like, the Boogie Down Productions part is probably the part that I knew the least of, you know, the least about, because again, I'd heard, like, you know, Black Cop from his first solo record, and then his self-titled record in like 1995. And I Got Next was 1997. I remember listening to that one with my friends in high school. But the Boogie Down Production stuff, I didn't know. And I didn't really understand. I had always seen him as this, like, elevated. He's the guy who in his first record is talking about how he's a vegetarian and how he doesn't eat meat. And it's right next to songs like, oh, God, what's the name? 9mm Goes Bang, which is like a real prototype for the gangster rap that, like, N.W.A. would make very huge. The same, like, around the same time, like, they were, it was really, you could almost see these things that KRS-One was doing, or Boogie Down Productions was doing, that would get referenced, like, almost immediately with N.W.A. Like, they were, this is back before there was a, I guess, East Coast, West Coast, like, you know, rivalry. And back in the day, like, his biggest rivalry was he was always saying that, I think it's the second song on Criminal Minded, which is the first Boogie Down Productions record, and I think the first song they released, South Bronx, he was very big about touting that, you know, South Bronx is where hip hop came from, not Queensbridge. Like, you know, other people said it was immediate, like he immediately was into the battle thing. That's how he got into it. He was this kid living on the streets and then would just walk up to do battles with people and destroy them.
KRS-One attack. You got dropped off MCA because the rhymes you wrote was whack. So you think that hip hop had its start out in Queensbridge? If you pop that junk up in the Bronx, you might not live, cause you're in
South Bronx, the South, South Bronx, South Bronx, the South, South Bronx, South Bronx, the South, South Bronx, South Bronx, the South, South Bronx.
I came with Scott LaRock to express one thing. I am a teacher and others are kings. If that's a title they earn, well, it's well deserved. But without a crown, see, I still burn. You settle for a pebble, not a stone like a rebel. KRS-One is the holder of a boulder. Money folder. You want a fresh style? Let me show you. Now, way back in the days when hip hop began, with Coca, LaRock, Kool Herc, and then bam, Beat Boys ran to the latest jam. But when it got shot up, they went home and said, damn, it's got to be a better way to hear our music every day. People's getting blown away, but coming outside anyway. They tried again outside and see the park. Power from a streetlight made the place dark. But yo, they didn't care. They turned it out. I know a few understand what I'm talking about. Remember, Bronx River.
And, yeah. Which is such a, I mean, it's a cool image. It's a cool thought. Like, you know, this kid who was just spending his days, you know, in libraries reading and then sleeping on subways and in the streets. Like, so yeah, South Bronx, like, I did not realize how much that first record, you know, really kind of put them in the echelon of, you know, of NWA and guys like that. That to me was, yeah, was new. I didn't really, you know, I'd always seen him as like this older guy from hip hop, but it's because he'd already, you know, by the time he came out as KRS-One, he put out 5 albums under a different name that I had no idea, yeah, about. And his, and so that, this album, I should mention, Criminal Minded, is done with Scott LaRock, who to me, he tragically, you know, was killed when he was making their second album, like, and which is the one that I got from my record shop, By All Means Necessary, which is, I think, my favorite, more than Criminally Minded, and real hip-hop people might say that I'm wrong about that, and that's fine. But Scott LaRock is awesome, and he's just lays down very simple, very, you know, very cool beats that lets KRS-One really, you know, his delivery is not changed at all. Like, he, you know, from these early records, that's the kind of cool thing too. I think he's never had a mainstream crossover success or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really because he is, in his mind, this hip hop is what it is from this time. And I, you know, it's kind of great that he, you know, he was touting all these crazy things that, you know, back then would seem, even on the second record, there's like this song called Jimmy Hat. It's all about like, hey, just wear a condom, guys. Like, you know, like, it protects against all this stuff. But I mean, who else was doing, I don't know that there were a lot of people out there, hey, let's also be socially conscious about this.
Yeah, it's true. And I'll say one thing, I don't know a lot about KRS-One, but I do know a track from By All Means Necessary, the second song, I believe it's called You Slippin'.
Oh, yeah.
It has a great sample from Smoke on the Water,
okay,
by Deep, yes, Purple, and it used to be on this mixtape I had, and so that one was one that I remember, and that's all around great song.
Yeah, but, and this is again like, mean, kind of like, I don't know if I'd have to look at my, when, you know, Run DMC and Aerosmith were putting out, I don't think it's the first time that everybody was like, hey, let's get a metal or, you know, a rock, a hard rock, right, record and mix it with it. But I mean, it's definitely one of the first times that it happened. And it is a,
yeah,
marriage that would go on to exist until, you know, I mean, the 90s, it was really huge to have those mixes of, like, you know, heavy rock and hip hop. That was a big thing.
Totally.
There would be whole albums and whole like soundtracks based on it, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, oh, man, You're Slipping's so good. That's a great song.
Yeah, and you make a great point about his social consciousness. I mean, this was, you know, before Chuck D had thrown down a lot of that stuff with Public Enemy. And, you know, I think it's a really good point, yeah, that he was making those kind of statements and
right.
and doing that kind of stuff.
So that record, By All Means Necessary, my favorite track, the first track on it, is My Philosophy, which is it's a great song. It's also he had, I think, called himself a teacher before, but I think this is a song where he's like, you know, the teacher is about to speak.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I'm asking you, who is more dramatic, this one or that one? The white one or the black one? Black the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. Terrorist one is just the gotta lead a crew. Right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover. Holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-C-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number two, my philosophy. Number one was poetry, you know it's me. You know it's my philosophy, many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable, I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect. Cause that's just what K.R. collects. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft pump? You walk down the street and get jumped. You gotta have style. From the Bronx is thick, and in real life, we roll correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but they can't, because like a champ, I have got a record of knocking out the floor.
And, yeah. And this, he kind of like, again, this is his second record. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm going to teach all y'all about what's going on. I find that I found that ego to be really fascinating and really like telling, like, you know, that yeah, he's got the swagger for it. It's fine. But, you know, one of my like most listened to songs in high school probably was Gangsta Gangsta by N.W.A. And love that song. Really great song. But the line, it's not about a salary. It's all about reality. That comes from My Philosophy. Like they, you know, that song came out like a year before as a single. And I think it was Eazy-E that rapped that bit in N.W.A. But like he had like they had picked up on it. So it's so cool how he was around for all this, you know. He was really at the beginning of all this stuff. Like I said, you know, the gangster rap that they were doing was kind of influenced by, you know, that 9mm song from Criminal Minded, where it's just a fictional, you know, heist gone wrong type thing, you know, that, but it's kind of what these guys dealt with. And
yeah,
it's so to me, like finding out about, yeah, I'd already known about Booker Dark Impression, but really digging in and listening to the records was a really satisfying experience.
Yeah. Well, he really, as you said, really was a pioneer. And I think, looking back at sort of the evolution of hip hop now, like we associate a lot of hip hop with this period.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what a lot of people kind of forget is like before Public Enemy, Boogie Down Productions, and then the, you know, the West Coast rappers, before that, hip hop was kind of party music.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
It was meant more as an escape than anything. And these guys, you know, made it more of a reflection of, of real life, you know.
Well said.
And and KRS-One, why do you think maybe he doesn't get maybe as much credit as some of those other guys?
I kind of think it is because he keeps it so real that it's that it, for a lot of people, it's annoying. I forget what the Boogie Down Productions Edutainment. That's a 1990 record that they put out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
It's interspersed with him, with bits of him speaking at colleges, because he started to get gigs. And again, this is 1990, like really early, and that kind of thing. He started getting gigs speaking to colleges. And I mean, he's a very smart guy. Like he still has some problems that he has some ideas that, when you listen to these things now, there's a lot of the ideas about sexuality and things like that that are, looking at them from today's lens, are a little skewed. But I think he would probably today, you know, also go back on them. But like he's doing this, you know, kind of teaching and preaching thing that, again, at a very young age, he's the one kind of speaking this. And I think a lot of people thought that it was too much. Like it was just too much knowledge, not just like, let's enjoy hip-hop for hip-hop. And
it maybe got a bit preachy. Is that what you're saying?
He did write a book called The Gospel of Hip-Hop, yeah. So he had the audacity to do that.
He also released a actual gospel hip-hop record that most people do say, Spiritual Mind is the name, but it came out in 2002. Most people say it's his worst. They don't like it. I don't know. I think it's kind of pretty good. Like, he's read a lot of stuff, and he kind of spouts some knowledge on things. There's some still weird stuff in it, but it's probably, again, we were talking yesterday a little bit about, then I did this gospel record. It's if you're going to talk about that, it's probably better than Bob Dylan's gospel record. it's probably better than that. I think his commitment to realness and all that sort of stuff is, I think some people might find it a little, rubs them the wrong way. And he's just controversial. He's one of those people who states his mind, and that can get you into trouble at times where, you don't want to be. But to me, he's just a fascinating figure to look at. I do think, it's interesting to look at all this, at the history of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And here's an artist that you can actually look at the entire history of hip hop on.
Yeah,
you can really,
that's right.
Yeah.
The only problem becomes that, like, basically once, 2000 rolls around, 2001, The Sneak Attack is the album that came out. And I remember playing this at my college radio station. And I remember people not liking it very much. I do think it was the one where he tried to hit big, and there were some different like names on the record, guest spots and stuff. People didn't like it, and I get it. I still think there's great songs on it. I don't think there's ever a time when you're like driving down, when I would drive around in my car and listen to KRS-One, there's not a time that I felt uncool. Like, it's just, it's like the he's always stuck with the production, the kind of DJ, mirrored DJ Scott LaRock, where it's just very simple, very straightforward, not a lot of show, not a lot of thing, just to let the rhyme shine. And I kind of think a lot of people talk about what album's the best. I still think like 2003, Chris Stiles came out. I had never heard that one before I listened to it. That's a great album. I think he wasn't happy with, like, I think if whatever you look at on Spotify doesn't have some of the songs that were on the original release, so you kind of have to go digging to find an actual release that he liked of that. That's a good record, man. It's still, he just does what he does constantly. Blackalicious, Quali, M.O.P. Gangstar, that's underground. Mad Lion, Smith & Wesson, Buckshot, Armageddon, T.S., that's underground. What does it mean to be underground? It means you gotta be free to be underground. Yo, you got your own key when you're underground. If you're listening to me, yo, you underground. Yo, the teacher returns. I told y'all I went to Cali to learn, and that shit was underground. If the cops be eyeing you, 'cause survive is what you try to do. Yo, I'm with you, you underground. If it's justice you want, and you protest the ice they flaunt, you want skills, that's underground. Yo, it's not about a rugged rapper or an actor, it's about your subject matter, that's underground. Look, what does it mean to be underground? It means you gotta be free to be underground. Yo, you got your own key when you're underground. If you're listening to me, yo,
and I think that's another thing about the way you do these deep dives that's cool, Tug. Like, some of the stuff that might have been really controversial when it came out, some of that controversy and that sensation has faded away. So you're able to judge it on a more level playing field, right? Than sort of like, oh, this was the album that upset everybody, or this was the album where he changed.
Right.
But when you go back and look at it, you can see the whole statement probably in a much clearer way.
Anybody who's had more than 10 albums that I do these deep dives on, when I go back and look at them, guaranteed, like, one of the ones that's my favorite is when I look at it on Wikipedia, it's like, it wasn't critically well received. it's always the case. That's just hindsight is 2020. And yeah, you really need some distance sometimes from these things. You're like, no, it's, they're pretty good.
Totally.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this too, because I want to go back and listen to some of these older.
I really got to go back.
Yeah, I want to go back and listen to some of these older records, and I'm not that familiar with the KRS-One solo records that much. I know the Boogie Down Productions record somewhat.
Yeah, just bits and pieces for me. So this is going
to
be good.
The KRS-One, cool. the solo ones, obviously Return of the Boom Baps, like the first one they did solo. It's great. It's amazing. But yeah, like check out Chris Stiles from 2003. It's really good.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Okay.
Good place to start.
Thanks again, Tug.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So tomorrow we're going to have Tug on again.
I can't wait.
I'll be back.
It's a bonus episode, it's not about the deep dive. It's about something else entirely. So people are going to want to hear
again. I only had time for two this year because of myself.
You had 55 albums to listen to. So
very cool. And Tug, I think you mentioned, maybe it was yesterday, that you have three dogs. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Would you like a fourth dog?
No, I'm good on my three.
Yeah.
You'd be good, Shadow.
No, I kid. Shadow's great, but man, super hyper. What is life like with three dogs?
Luckily, how old's Shadow?
He's 11 months.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mine are all probably 9-10 years or older, so yeah.
Okay.
Much more chill, they're very demanding at 6:30 in the morning when they think it's 7 in the morning when they get fed.
Yeah. Patrick's giving the dog the microphone. Yep. So okay,
little shout out sound effect.
All right, let's move on. If anyone would like to comment about the music of KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions,
love to hear it.
You can call 612-440-1984 or email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. All right. Good talking to you, Tug. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Yep.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is
Tug Baker.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Here he comes right now. We better wrap this up.
Good timing,
equipment
Shadow.
Is about to...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we're safe.
Be good, Shadow.